This is VSiN's Pro Football Tailgate Show, only on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Thanks for watching today on YouTube TV. Nesson, Masson, Marquee, good morning. Sirius XM Channel 158 as well. iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates coming up in this hour. Plenty more games to get into in the National Football League in 15 minutes. Bottom of the hour, John Hansen. Best bets with player props for the week. And 45 minutes from right now, let's get nuts, have some guts, ladder bets, maybe some weekly leaders, anytime touchdown scores in that segment. So a weather update as well coming here in a few minutes. We'll begin this hour talking about a Las Vegas betting contest. Circa Survivor is down to 9 people. Started with more than 18,000. Each entry now, the implied value is more than $2 million. 9 people left again. 3 people were on the Patriots. Intriguing, Paulie. 4 of the remaining 9 had the Patriots left. Did the one person not using them this week save them to have them against Miami next week? They would be the only entry to have them.
Yep.
3 entries are on the Buccaneers today on the road against Miami. 0-7 run ATS?
0-7 ATS run, yes. They have covered 7 in a row against Miami, though. Do with that what you want, but they are in poor form. But Miami was pathetic last week.
Yeah, 2 entries on the Cincinnati Bengals. They've never stung anybody in Survivor before, have they? And 1 entry is on the New York Giants. And I must point out that this entry, kick your knees up, they had Tampa and Cincinnati available.
Wow, this guy's got onions. What a move. He's on an island, so he's the late game, and that's it. But that is to take a team that's lost 9 in a row and 2-13 for potentially almost $19 million. That takes some guts to do that. And I hope he wins, but I was stunned when I saw that here, that how bad this team has been. And a short favorite on the road going to war with the Giants.
I mean, I definitely like where his head's at, using this game as the afternoon game, and that's it. Knowing that everybody else is going to, because we only have 2 late. Nobody's going to use Philadelphia or Buffalo. Nobody probably had either one of those teams left. And then nobody's going to use a Sunday night game. Nobody had the Rams left to use Monday night. So you're like, okay, I can isolate myself, be on that island. And if I get absolute carnage, well, maybe I could scoop the entire thing. You're right. I would never root against anybody. That I'd like to meet this person, shake his hand. They have balls of a burglar here.
I want an explanation.
Yeah, me too.
What were the reasons? Yeah. But certainly it's hard because you have to take someone and you don't have a lot of options. And then what your game plan is week 18. But also you could be thinking playing with house money. Think about those 4 people on Christmas who were on Brosmer and the Minnesota Vikings. Again, everything's going your way where you're a 7.5 point dog and you throw for 50 yards and you win the game. You're also here because an underdog won on Thanksgiving as well. And you were on one of the underdogs, which had a 1% chance where all the underdogs won. So you got to feel good with the Patriots pick. But still, I'd be a little nervous with Tampa. And I got to be nervous on Cincinnati with the all-time bad defense, even though Arizona's lost 12 of 13. This real bro is in a great spot. He, one of the 2 on Cincinnati, he's the only person that has Jacksonville left.
Yep.
So Jacksonville will be a double-digit home favorite next week against the Titans. So he's in a great position. But I just, going back to Thanksgiving, to Christmas, when you had to play one of those 3 games and 4 people were on the Vikings, and you see 6 turnovers and how Goff was. I mean, it just, I can't believe it. Because it also was a pain in the ass for hedging too.
Right. I mean, well, nothing's a lock at all. Never is, never has been, ever will be. Right. And that's how this contest is so beautiful, because upsets come out of nowhere. I don't know, man. Will the Jets make it interesting for the 3 people who are on the Patriots today?
I can't see it. They're tanking too. And just shutting people down and injuries, and you're going with Cook again at quarterback.
Right.
And it's been awful when he's been in there. Plus, the Patriots have owned him, and the Patriots still trying to get home field in the run they're on. 14-1-1 first half money line. 11-0-1 last 12. 12-3 ATS in the first half. 7-0 on the road. 6-1 ATS. 17-2 straight up last 19 against the Jets. 9-0 against teams with a losing record. Average margin 13 points per game. They have some starters out, but you're likely to get Henderson back in this one. And whoever it is, they should run wild against this Jets defense. And hopefully, well, hopefully you look up and this is reminiscent of Houston, Arizona a couple weeks ago. This could be 17-0 in the first quarter.
You're exactly right. Would you watch the game today that you're on if you're one of the final nine?
Yeah, I think you have to. And also get to do stuff in play, too. You know, I don't think you can in play stuff unless you're watching the game. But I think you have to be creative here. And also you could scoop it where you Patriots win, but they don't cover. And you take some stuff in play on the Jets as well.
Well, it looks like Henderson's going to go in this game. So his rookie of the year odds drifted out to like 22-1 after not playing last week. He is back down to looking at a couple of different books. He's around plus 650 or plus 750. He's around the third shot on the board. And here's why. If you have a Henderson ticket or if you're banking on him today in fantasy, you're hoping to God that Mike Vrabel makes him the lead back in this spot. Like if he's cleared and good to go, then just get out there and run him a bunch, right? Running backs against the Jets this year. I could go on for an hour talking about this team. But it started back in week two. James Cook had 21 for a buck 32 and two touchdowns. Achane got him twice. The last time was week 14. He had 92 yards on seven carries and a touchdown. That's when he got hurt. In week four, he had 20 for 99 and a touchdown. And in that game, week 14, Jalen Wright came in when he got hurt, 24 for a buck seven and one score. Week 11, the first time they played the Patriots, Henderson, 19 for 62 and two touchdowns. He had 31 yards receiving and another touchdown. Henry scored twice. Robinson had 142 yards against them. Now, Etienne, that Jacksonville game was interesting to me because I brought that game up and have some guts. Let's get nuts. When I said Etienne, maybe three touchdowns that day, I expected them on the ground. He had three in the air. So they just passed every single down, but he killed him in the passing attack. And it's one running, the Bengals game. P. Ryan had 94 yards and a touchdown. Brown had 73 and a touchdown.
Well, he should be running away with this award, but Vrabel has handcuffed him with all these Stevenson carries as well. And the other, maybe it coincides with there was a little backlash with Shuck, where some people were saying, come on, this guy can't win Rookie of the Year. He's only been in there 7-8 games.
That did happen this week.
And then their Pelissero NFL Network also did a column. He talked to 30 NFL teams and 21 GMs, and it was McMillan by a comfortable margin. But this is a lot, right? If he can lock up the one or two seed and he has a huge game the next 2 weeks, as he should against the Jets and Dolphins, I think he's going to win it.
Yeah, well, if Henderson can repeat or get in the neighborhood of what he did in that first game against the Jets, again, where he had almost 100 yards combined, he scored three times. I mean, if that happens, he's going to probably turn into the short shot. Mm-hmm. If he scores once or twice today and has 100 yards, he can get right back into this thing. Right. And those numbers are feasible based on this crappy defense he's playing.
And the tweets, texts and emails are coming in as well. Steeler fans concerned. This is a Tomlin special today. No one loses more games to bad teams or when they have to have it than Tomlin. So this fits the Tomlin special today. Knowing Tomlin, they'll lose today and then beat the Ravens with the division on the line. And this is up to 4.5 now, too. And the total up to 35.5. I thought that would move right away. It took time after the Ravens won, but now we're back to 4.5 with the Steelers, who can wrap up the division with a win.
All right. So the question is, are we going to get weather in that game in Cleveland? What about some of the other spots? Midwest, Northeast today, hosting games outside with this being late December now. Kevin Roth with a weather update for us.
What's up, VSIN? Sports meteorologist Kevin Roth here. Wanted to give you a quick update on my expectations here on what is a busy NFL weather week. The first game, and what you need to know, the rain in Buffalo. I think it's going to pour in Buffalo pregame, in-game, postgame. We've got a flood watch in effect, and I expect we're seeing moderate to heavy rain throughout that game. That will be an issue for offenses, will be an issue for special teams, increases in turnovers, a downgrade to efficiency of the passing attack. That is the most impactful game, I think, by a lot. But there are a lot of other games to note. That includes the Jets game. Could see a few showers late there. Temperatures around freezing. We'll say minimal impacts. In Cleveland, it's a very active weather day, but the timing of the game is almost perfect to minimize those impacts. Could see a few downpours early, but that game is more dry than wet. Winds around 15 miles per hour sustained. It's not great weather in Cleveland, but I think it's good enough that I don't want to make any bets about it. And then two games where you could see some gusty winds. That includes Nashville for the Titans game. Winds gusting 30 to 35 miles per hour. More of an issue for special teams. And then also in Cincinnati, models are trying to pop some of these wind gusts. I've seen 35, some models showing closer to 40 mile per hour wind gusts. sustained maybe 15 to 20 there. And that's mostly a problem for special teams for longer field goals, but maybe even a few deep throws could be impacted there in Cincy with those strong wind gusts. If you want more info like this, follow me on Twitter or X at KevinRothWX. Good luck, guys.
All right.
There you go. Does a great job as always. So I like 77 degrees in that neighborhood for Cincinnati today. I think was the spot. It's going to be warm there. I might have that mixed up with another game, but with those winds, you know, he only suggested with the kicking game, but also maybe some deep passes. Could that really throw a wrench into our plans here with Trey McBride?
Yeah, well, I don't think so.
He's going to be more 10 yards down the field kind of thing.
I like the longest made field goal there because you're not going to get stops anyways. And why, you know, you're going to try a 53-yard field goal, a 52-yard field goal. That's not a bad angle, too. The consensus here, 41% on the season, 1-1 so far. Carolina, Bills, and Niners, the other three selections. And the Bills were pick 'em in the contest. They're up to 2.5 now. So consensus, 41%. Been a bad job with the top five picks. Best time of year for bettors, the all-new Boomer Sportsbook. Bring into the action code VSIN250. When you sign up for a Boomer's mobile account, they'll match your first deposit up to $250 in bonus bets, $1.05 juice, and all the NFL games. Download the Boomer's book today. Learn more. BetWithBoomer.com. Got to be 21. VSIN250, your code. Get up to $250 in bonus bets at Boomer Sportsbook. BetWithBoomer.com.
We'll expand on these games on the Week 17 coming up next, and a little teaser talk as well here on VSIN's Pro Football Tailgate Show.
You're watching VSIN's Pro Football Tailgate Show right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
More player props coming up in 15 minutes with John Hansen, the fantasy guru. This Buccaneers number keeps moving around down to 4.5, some spots, 5, 5.5 at others. Again, they should dominate the line of scrimmage here today. All the metrics point that out. And when you consider this, last week, Evans, Godwin, Egbuka, McMillan, Irving Otten all played for the first time and yet could not get it going. Broken offense, Mayfield not close to the same guy that he was over the first 6 weeks of the season. Todd Bowles is on a 16-4 under run as a road favorite. And this all comes down to, you know, what you're going to get out of Quinn Ewers at quarterback. I think the Dolphins would actually be competitive here with a chance to win with Tua. We talked to Warren Sharp last hour about his thoughts on this game. And he brought up what I thought about Ewers and a lot of these young guys. Too much of an unknown. You don't know what he's going to go out there and play like probably. Yep. He's a good chance he's going to be bad.
Yep.
But what about if he's actually kind of decent today?
Well, throw to Waller. That's the other thing.
Yeah,
throw
no
the
kidding.
Tight end. Get him involved early. He's a great red zone weapon as well and target. And this team was 6-2. And now the wheels have come off in Tampa. So still they have a position to play for the division next week. But I wouldn't be shocked if Carolina wins, though. I mean, again, they're 10-1, last 11 ATS as a home dog, and all 8 wins are this year as an underdog. So this is where they relish this spot, and they love being in this spot, and we'll see if you get a Darnold implosion. But I've been waiting for 2 months for this Tampa offense, and it hasn't happened, and a big reason why is a compromised Mayfield.
They are still sitting as a $1.50 favorite to win that division.
Yes, think about that. A game behind with 2 left, still favored. Do you expect them to, Warren dismissed them. Could they put a scare into someone if they make it? I mean, they're likely to play the Rams. I don't like that matchup. We saw that already. They got destroyed.
I don't think I would like any matchup at all with this team right now. They would have to flip the switch right now, this game and against Carolina. And by that, I mean, the offense has to go back to like they look against Seattle all the way back in Week 5.
How many times can Bowles call you out too? How many times can you say you have pride? These are silly mistakes, whatever, right? It keeps happening, especially how bad they've been defensively. There are 5 games in that sweet spot then with a 6, 6.5, or 7-point favorite. So it's a teaser's delight today.
Okay, so let's kick this around. Which teams kind of make sense, maybe which ones don't. The Bengals now, they were sitting at 7.5, so you could tease them below 7 and below 3, but now they're basically 7 everywhere. I don't know if you want to tease them down to 1 or not. Are you confident enough in the Bengals that they're going to actually win this game?
Yeah, I got there. Yeah.
Are you?
I think the people in Survivor are okay with them. Again, you're taking on a loud, just a a dumpster fire in Arizona. They've lost 12 of 13. The defense has been deplorable, and you got guys out. So I would expect more of the same like last week, how Burrow cooked and the offense looked so good.
The Seahawks down to like one, well, now 1.5, basically, some spots as well against Carolina.
A little nervous.
I would be as well.
Yep. They got the extended rest, and you know, you're 43% to get the one seed, and that would set up that huge matchup next week against San Francisco. But again, this is where Carolina's at their best when they're playing one of the best elite teams. You mentioned Green Bay, you mentioned the Rams game, and sometimes it's, you got to give them a little bit of credit, but these teams vomit on themselves and make stupid mistakes.
I would like their chances today to actually win the game outright if I was confident in the team running the football. Again, yeah. I talked about this in the first hour. They successfully ran the football for more than 160 yards in both their upset wins against Green Bay and the Rams. Seattle is one of the most difficult teams to run the ball on in the entire league. So if they can't get it going, I mean, it's going to take a lot. Again, in those two wins, they were 5 for 5 on fourth downs. They had a lot of things go their way. Bryce Young did not have to do much at all. If they can't run the football, like, is he going to be able to go out there and beat Seattle on his own? That seems a little unlikely.
Yeah.
The Titans up to 7.5 against the Saints with a low total here. Saints have been playing much better football.
Oh, yeah.
I'm okay with this one because now you have to expect the Saints to go on the road and win by basically 2 scores. I'm not so sure about that.
Okay. Well, Olave, plus 320 to have 100 yards. He's been great, and he was awesome last week. Cashed 25-1, most receiving.
And by the way, Tennessee is 5-2, last seven. ATS, 5-3 in general with Mike McCoy as the coach here. They're playing better. Cam Ward looks pretty decent. Mm-hmm. Defense can be, and don't forget that angle here with the Saints being money to the under.
10-1 under run for the game. And again, you want to take Tennessee first quarter. The Saints are 0-13-2 first quarter money line, 2-13 ATS in the first quarter.
Now that's
every week.
What are we doing here?
You haven't had the lead one time the whole season at the end of the first quarter?
Well, Paul, if they can't do it today, one game left.
This is huge, though. It's for the, they play Atlanta next week on the road. This is for the win total. I can't believe this, how Shuck has energized this offense and what he's done here, that you could lose if you bet the win total under here.
I know. They win. Do you think it's silly for people to bring up Tyler Shuck as Offensive Rookie of the Year, or is it silly for people to poo-poo that idea? If he's great the last two games, nobody wants this award for the most part.
Yeah. If he's great and the other guys don't do anything, right. I mean, it's just, it's a weird year where Buka fell off and also guys came back, and McMillan hasn't done much the last couple weeks.
Yeah. How about teasing the Raiders up to 8.5 against the Giants?
No way. No way. I'm here for anything. I mean, this could be 34-10. It could be 9-6. Your two best players are out too. And I like the angle that the Giants embarrass themselves and they'll come in and show something offensively after that horrible game. I don't know what that was. What are we doing? We're not throwing the ball? This is stupid what they were doing. So does Dable mean that much to the offense? But I think the Raiders finally get it right here. Year after year after year being in this position. Finally do the right thing, lose, get the number one pick.
The one thing I'd be afraid of here is that Genty, in theory, should be able to have a great game. And if they keep him in and play him like to really go nuts and Carroll doesn't pull the guy, right, the angle here, because the Giants defense, and I'll expand on this coming up in about 20 minutes, Giants defense is just so bad, specifically against the run. Now Genty looked good again last week against one of the best defenses in football. It should be there for him today. I bet the under in this game, 41.5, because, again, what if the Raiders go out there, Genty's not doing much, I'm wrong on that, and they're like, yeah, that's enough. We wanted to see two more quarters of him. We're going to pull him. I mean, with Bowers going to the IR, came out of nowhere. Crosby absolutely out of left field this last week. Maybe that's kind of the game plan, and the Giants not throwing the ball last week. Nobody wants to play. They're sitting offensive linemen. Maybe it's just, let's get out of here. Gentlemen's agreement. Nobody gets hurt. 6-3 ball game. No touchdown scored. Very low scoring.
What would you do if you're McDermott? You take the field knowing the Patriots already won. Well, it's not over. New England, if they beat Miami at home, it's done. And plus you have a hobbled quarterback. Your franchise is banged up. It's going to be bad weather. You're taking on an unbelievable Philly defense. And your Kincaid and Knox are questionable. I mean, that's one where I just say, maybe I punt on the game if I'm McDermott in the second half. It doesn't make sense to me because you have no shot if something happens to Allen.
Yeah, this is from, do you see this tweet from Eddie by the book?
No.
He said, it's not true that Buffalo would lay down if the Pats win. Buffalo division and Denver conference have tiebreaker over New England due to a Pats loss to Las Vegas in week one,
unbelievable. Yeah, but they're not going to lose to the Quinn Ewers at home. It's just they're not going to lose that game.
I would not think so. McDermott doesn't feel like a guy who's going to say, let's take it easy with our guys here in this game today.
Well, I also think Sirianni's doing the right thing. And what we played earlier, that he's playing people. They got to find some rhythm and some chemistry and cohesion on offense. And it hasn't been there the whole year other than the passing attack in the second half of the Rams game. So go out, try to establish something, get some good stuff on film, get some confidence, and then sit people week 18 against Washington.
Now, what's the betting market telling us here? The Bills are up to 2.5 now in the game. You could actually tease the Eagles up to 8.5 right now if you wanted to. And last night when I was looking at all these numbers, you couldn't even get to 7.5 because the Bills were 1 basically everywhere. Yeah. Now 2.5 in this game.
Could you think Atlanta's frisky tomorrow?
I do, yeah. And so does the market, by the way, because the Rams are down to 7.5 now.
Got to be concerned about the defense, and we know the special team's awful. So that was just, they gave away the one seed, blowing that big lead. Seattle was 40-1 in play, down 16 with 7 minutes left, but 7.5 against the Falcons, and I would expect a big game from Pitts. He's playing for that contract.
I think
the guy's been great.
I think Robinson can have a big game. I am not going to be surprised if the Rams lose the game outright.
Oh, wow. Huh? Are you serious?
I say that, though, as a guy who is not panicking. I'm not doing that at all, but I'm a little sketchy on my Rams future ticket at 30-1 to win the Super Bowl. They just they've shown too many. And now what, Adams, super questionable in the game, doubtful, not going to go again the way it looks.
Yep.
I just have many questions now about this team all of a sudden.
Before the line moves, Sharp plays already there. They don't just follow the market. They help shape it. He reached out. He's phenomenal with his info. Henry, 4 touchdowns, was 110-1. Great sources, proven sources, active across all sports. The AI plays up 50 units. The Robin Hood plays. He's donated $22,000 to charity the last 3 years. He's been at it since 2011. They backed it up with documentary results, public logs, transparent receipts. Look for the Mr. Poison tweets coming up before kickoff. First touchdown scores as well. SharpPlays.com. Stay ahead of the line. SharpPlays.com.
John Hansen has an angle on that Bills-Eagles game with a player prop. Find out who he likes next.
Watching VSiN's Pro Football Tailgate Show right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A deeper dive here into player props for the upcoming games, Week 17. This is VSiN's Pro Football Tailgate Show. We're live in Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Joined now by the fantasy guru himself, John Hansen, on the Progressive Guest Line. His show is called Prop Points, Monday through Friday at 1 o'clock Eastern Time, right here on the network. Guru, good Sunday morning. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
Good. Happy holidays. Happy New Year to you guys and everybody watching, listening, and all that good stuff.
So we were just talking about, back at you, the Philadelphia and the Bills game, and we played a piece of audio from Nick Sirianni earlier, who said all the right things, like it's an important game for them, right? They're treating the week of practice, big game. They want to have all their guys go and play pretty much the entire time. A lot of rain in this game expected as well. So how did you approach it with player props? What are you going to do, for example, with Saquon Barkley?
Yeah, by the way, I think a bad schematic matchup for A.J. Brown. We're not going to get a lot of downfield plays. So they'll force Jalen Hurts when they do throw to dink and dunk. So I actually do like Devontae Smith in the passing game in terms of like over 48.5. It's a very good number, but they're really going to roll with Barkley. I was in on this on the program. Actually, I think I got in on it. I was mentioning how I wanted to get in on like Wednesday, like 78 yards, but Friday was officially 81.5, bet up to 86.5, but I still like it. This has been a choice matchup for a running back all year. Buffalo gives up the third most adjusted yards before contact, the fourth most rushing yards per game, along with the third most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to opposing runners over the last 5 weeks, only in the running game. They're the league's most extreme run funnel, a -4 pass rate over expectation allowed. So it's a perfect spot. We got a closer point spread, and we do have a Bills team that I think obviously is strong enough, if they truly do want to put their best foot forward, which I do believe they will, to keep Barkley relevant here. It's also for most of the game. Opposing RB1s, by the way, are averaging 25.1 fantasy points per game on DraftKings against the Bills in games they haven't won by multiple scores. It's also a good schematic matchup for Barkley. Buffalo allows 5.44 yards per carry and a 5% explosive run rate against zone concept runs. And Barkley's 290 yards on those runs in that span, third most. Like I said, tougher matchup for the passing game, so they're going to lean on Barkley heavily.
Okay, what does Rivers do with and get Tyler Warren involved today against Jacksonville?
Well, first of all, he's going to give me restitution, because if you watch the Monday show, prop points, I had 6 props and a Monday night special. The Monday night special was an anytime touchdown to Tyler Warren, and Phil Rivers missed him for a sure touchdown right before the half, which he knows had he made that throw, I would have went 7-0. All the props would have hit and the specials. So I woke up 5-1 on Tuesday and I was pissed. But I'm going right back to the well here, because Tyler Warren is too good here. It's very unusual that he's not on the same page with Phil Rivers, but I do believe that Phil is going to be working on that. And this is the week to unleash him. The Jags have deployed the fourth highest rate of zone coverage. Tyler Warren's yards per route run against zone compared to man quadruples. And more specifically, they run cover 3 and cover 6 54% of the time. He's a very strong 2.18 yards per route run against the shell. Jags give up the 9th most receiving yards per game and the 7th most receptions to tight end. And Warren leads the team with a 28.6% target share with Phil Rivers. We're going to get left tackle Bernard Raymond back, which I think helps. And I know that Rivers knows that he missed that tutty. So I think it's going to be a very River-centric game again, and it's going to be a lot of Tyler Warren.
You have to be salivating here with McBride going against Cincinnati.
Yeah.
How creative you want to get with McBride?
You know, I don't know about the latter stuff, because the number's really high. And, of course, Elijah Higgins did actually go off here. And, by the way, if Elijah Higgins usurps McBride again and he doesn't hit this prop, if you hear an explosion, that would be my head over here on the East Coast, because this is the best matchup that we've ever seen, perhaps, for a tight end. They're giving up the most receiving yards per game, the most receptions. They're only giving up the third most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to the position the last 4-5 weeks. But still, good schematic matchup. He's over 2 yards per route run against cover 3 and cover 6. And it's going to be a shootout. It's got, what, 2nd highest total on the board here. And also, Marvin Harrison expected to play. He's probably going to get erased by DJ Turner. Either him or Michael Wilson. DJ Turner on the outside has been an eraser. So they're going to need McBride in the middle of the field.
Yeah, I mean, his number is so high at this point. Well, the receptions prop is so high. 7.5.
Right.
And Paulie pointed this out earlier. 10 plus is what? It's like 2-1.
Plus 250.
Plus 250. Think about that, Guru. 10 plus catches plus 250. That's it.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's absurd. You know, again, I was in on this at 70.5 on Friday's show. Bet up to 76.5, but I'm still in on that. It's going to happen. Like, it's been amazing run here. I know Brissett took a little bit of a step back, but McBride has been one of my favorite players since I saw him at the Senior Bowl. I was like, man, this guy's unbelievable. I watched him closely. Dude won every single rep, and he's carried that over clearly to the NFL.
No doubt. Okay, you brought up one Warren. Let's go with another Warren here today. This, the version from Pittsburgh, Jalen. And if he can piggyback last week, that performance into another great one today, we're talking about Jalen Warren leading a bunch of people into fantasy championships across the country.
Yeah, and this is the identity of the team, obviously, the backfield. I did like Warren this summer. A little bit of an up-and-down year, but he's going to deliver. The Browns are a top-6 run funnel. They're giving up the 4th most schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to running backs the last 5 weeks in the running game only. This is a running prop here, obviously. And, you know, gone are the days when the Browns had a shutdown run defense for the first 2.5 months of the season. They're more vulnerable on the man gap runs over the last 5 weeks, giving up 5.1 yards per carry on those runs. That is the fourth most. And Jalen Warren has a 69% success rate on those runs the last 5 weeks. That is the third best in all of football. You know, split the snaps with Gainwell last week, but he did lead in carry share, 52% to 33%. He got 11 carries for 52 in this matchup last year, 4.7 yards per carry. So I think we'll do a little bit better here. Still need to win, obviously, with the Ravens winning last night. So yeah, I think we'll get to 50 yards for Warren.
Okay.
T. Higgins lights up Arizona.
Yeah, I think so. Based on the schematics, I got some good data here. Arizona gives up the fifth fewest receiving touchdowns and the 16th fewest yards per route run to outside receivers. However, they run cover four at the NFL's highest rate over the last 2 years. T. Higgins sees a 17% increase to his targets per route run against the shell, while also seeing a 56% boost to his yards per route run. He has also commanded 52% of the Bengals' air yards and has an 18.1 ADOT against cover four. So I think his chances of popping for a big play are much higher than usual. In a likely shootout, they're down strong safety Buda Baker. Their entire secondary is on the injury report, including my guy Max Melton. Shout out to Max Melton. But they're all banged up back there, so I think Burrow will have another big day.
One question here about Week 17 kind of randomness, and you don't know how these teams are going to treat it. We brought this up at least a couple of times so far on the show. It's the late game, the Tankathon game, right? There's a case here where Ashton Jeanty is going to go absolutely hog wild today. But also, like, back of my mind, I'm like, well, what if they yank him in the third quarter?
I know. It's ironic that the two Tankathons are playing one another. But I did go in on Jeanty. I am in, full disclosure.
Good for you.
It was bet up a little bit. 71, I was in. It's an unbelievable schematic matchup. Yeah. Like, it can't get any better, because I've got some great data on it that I won't share here. But yeah, I'm in, but I kind of pulled it from this segment based on your concern. So I don't know what else to say.
No.
I think Jeanty is a good play in fantasy for sure, but you know, there is some downside.
For sure. Treading lightly a little bit, I think, you know, final weeks of the regular season there. Follow him on X at @fantasy_guru. His show is called Prop Points. It's great. Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern, right here on VSiN. Thanks, Guru. Best of luck today.
You got it. Tomorrow, last Monday night game of the year, so we got to make it big. So tune in to Prop Points.
There you go.
Got it.
And no doubt he'll deliver with a Monday night special yet again.
Yeah, it's a good prop game. Jacksonville down to 4.5 at DraftKings.
Wow.
This is wild. Colts out of it. Jacksonville on fire. Is a letdown coming? Oh, what were the Texans to win the division? 12-1? Something like that?
When I first started to look, it was 9-10-1 range, but that was probably, I was late a little bit.
They were 3-5 and Stroud got hurt, had the concussion.
Yeah.
8 in a row. Should have beat Denver at home too.
That's true.
What a run.
Probably should have defeated Jacksonville in that other game, but then you can come back and say, well, that comeback against Jacksonville probably never should have happened the second time they played, but playoffs are shaping up, man, to be pretty incredible. Down to 4.5, you say, huh?
Yeah. I got to see it. Hopefully Rivers plays the whole game, but that could be another one where it's...
That's kind of my thought on that.
Yeah.
Again.
Go out with a bang.
Just like, look, I came out 44 years old.
That's
just
right.
Give me one more here. We'll call it a day. Up next, let's get nuts and have some guts. Ladder bets to look at. Weekly leaders, anytime touchdown scores. This is VSiN's Pro Football Tailgate Show.
You're watching VSiN's Pro Football Tailgate Show right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Want to get nuts? Come on. Let's get nuts.
It's that time to get nuts and have some guts.
Are you want to get nuts? Come on. Guts. Show some guts. A little guts here. Guts.
All right. Let's keep these going. We've hit these every single week. at least get a couple of these. Give me the big man, Darnell Washington. Anytime touchdown for the Steelers, plus 425. Rodgers loves to look at him in the red zone. Same game, Bond, Isaiah Bond for Cleveland, 9-1 anytime touchdown. Jalen Wright for the Dolphins, anytime touchdown, plus 850. Our guy, our big boy, Sean Tucker, put your head down. Anytime touchdown, 2-1. Two touchdowns, 12-1. First touchdown of the game, 10-1. Goal line guy for the Buccaneers.
I think he was 5-1 to score a touchdown last week.
Yeah.
When he got it done.
You got it. Pierce, 50 yards, more, plus 240. Mitchell for the Jets, 60-plus yards, plus 260. McBride, 120 yards, plus 370. Olave, do it again, 100 yards, plus 320. And I got to do it. This awful Giants run defense. Genty is 3-1 to have 100 yards. Let's get nuts. Cast some of these.
Yeah, I just I text people earlier today who cover the Raiders asking, like, what's the scenario where Genty's going to get pulled? I don't have an answer yet. Hopefully I get one before the end of the show. Because, again, the Giants' rushing defense is one of the worst in the entire league. And, you know, you're talking about how you like the Giants to win this game outright. Mm-hmm. This has been a spot where the Raiders have screwed it up time after time. They're dumb enough as an organization to go out there and win the game again today and force-feed Genty the ball like 30 times, rushing and receiving. And if he goes for like 200 yards combined and like three scores and they win the game, I wouldn't be surprised for a second.
Giants were in the same spot last year, blew it. Drew Lock beat the Colts.
That took out a lot of people in Survivor. Not a lot because we didn't have like a million people left.
Paul Bowlby still thinks about it.
So does Frank B.
Yeah.
No doubt. Like, how nuts do you want to get with the McBride stuff? That's so baked in and obvious.
I'm here for all of it.
Like, we're going to see if he goes off and has a day.
Two touchdowns is 8-1, by the way, if you want to do that as well.
Three is 50-1. But here's what you're going to, Paul, you're going to see people with the same game parlays, 10-plus catches, 100-plus yards, two or three touchdowns, and those are going to be monster days.
15 for 150. I could see that.
And
15 for 150 and two scores.
And four scores?
No.
Does anybody go Derrick Henry today?
No. That's not. 110-1, by the way.
This is why Derrick Henry. Like betting players today to score two or three touchdowns, I don't think is a dumb idea, although numbers get baked into it a little bit here, because you do see this happen in the fantasy title game a lot. And Henry is a good example last night. Why did the Ravens not give him the ball more in the last month of the season?
Coaching malpractice.
That's exactly what it was. And then they go out and give him 36 carries last night when you absolutely have to have it, last chance, like loser leaves town kind of deal with that team. If you did that the entire time, you'd probably be comfortably in the playoffs as we speak.
Would be, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So,
and my pick to win the AFC.
If they were comfortably in?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Someone's going to go nuts today in this Patriots game. I just don't know who it is. And that's going to make it tricky. I documented this earlier this hour. The Jets rushing defense has allowed almost every single decent like lead running back to go nuts against them this year. And it's gotten worse since the trade deadline. Henderson's going to play the way it looks, but what's that chair going to look like? There's also this angle. The Patriots are missing a bunch of players, specifically at wide receiver. Well, you factor this in, Hunter Henry has 52 catches. He gets a $250,000 bonus if he gets three more. He gets another $250,000 bonus if he gets to 60. That'd be eight catches. That pays 15-1, eight catches today. Maybe it's a Drake May game, and they throw it to him quite a bit. And the other guy is Stephon Diggs. Four more catches for $500,000. 131 more yards for $500,000 more. How about 130 yards to take care of it all today is almost 20-1. He reaches that incentive for the season, and you can get that today. And they have a bunch of guys out again. And he was the number one guy last week, and he was phenomenal.
He was awesome. Booty's out. Hollins is out.
There you go. And the other stuff I like today, still kind of dicey up in the air. I would sit here and tell you that Achane has to be the guy in the air. But again, Quinn Ewers is the quarterback. Tampa has allowed 804 receiving yards to running backs. That's the most in the league by 125 yards. Achane's one of the best weapons in the backfield. But we saw last week with Ewers, total unknown. But again, to look at guys, I think to score two, three touchdowns today, not a terrible idea. And I think it starts there with McBride, obviously, because it's going to be one of those things about having regret. If you don't bet it, and when it comes through, you're going to say, I hate myself for this. Mm-hmm. So some of the bets good we're job. Looking at here today.
All right. Good job, guys. Most receiving yards. JSN 5-1. Chase is 6. McBride is 10. Can Olave do it again? He's 11. He was 25-1 last week.
Yeah, he's also been on the IR injury report this week.
Higgins 15, Evans 20.
Well, I could see Evans because, again, Mayfield likes to really throw him the ball a lot.
Well, something funky could happen here because we've already had 5 games and you only got that 7 early, 2 late with the split.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you expect fireworks in that Cincinnati game. Burrow 5-1. Brissett 7-1 most passing.
Well, go down the board a little bit more.
Chuck is 15. Caleb Williams is 15. Rivers 22-1. What if they're getting blasted and he's still in there and they're playing catch up?
Well, I don't.
I mean, the game plan, I mean, he looked good at San Francisco, can't stop anything, but he was going to light it up until they pulled him early. He had good numbers.
I don't mind the Chuck idea for most passing yards today because they did not even try to run the football last week, and that was against the Jets. He threw the ball 49 times in that game. Maybe there's an angle here, Paulie, where Kellen Moore is actually trying to get this guy the rookie of the year. Could that be baked into it? Behind closed doors, they're having discussions like, he's in it. Let's go out there and
I don't know
scheme up a plan and have him throw the ball 45 times.
Yeah, and the rushing yards is a tough one, too. Because you have bad weather in Philadelphia, Buffalo, rather, with the Eagles. Could play into it. Cook and Barkley are 5-1. Genty's 10. Achane's 10.
I don't mind Genty. Again, if you told me right now that he's going to play the full game, and we know that for sure going into it, that almost has to be a look.
Stevenson, 25-1. I want Henderson. But I don't. He's not listed. Damn. And of all weeks... We're on the air last week, waiting. And I didn't see the Olave locally, and I didn't see it on DraftKings until half an hour before kick.
I was going to bet that last week, too. Chargers breakdown was so good.
And he cashed 25-1.
And now you're seeing this stuff up available everywhere?
Yes.
Yeah, of course it is.
Yes.
Yeah. All righty then. By the way, big difference in the coach of the year market as well.
Okay.
Mike Vrabel is -110 at DraftKings. Last check, he was -110 at Circa. FanDuel has Mike Vrabel at +170. And by the way, he was +165 earlier in the week around Christmas.
Yeah.
They drifted him up even a little bit more to +170 now.
This game tonight's huge. The winner of the Sunday night game really has a strong case. If the Niners can get the one seed, and also how bad the Bears looked offensively last year, and they win the division for the first time since 2018.
I think to me, now I'm biased. I have bets on both those guys. The winner of tonight's game absolutely should be the short shot to win it.
I agree.
And they should probably win it outright.
Right. Yeah. As I've said many times, I love Vrabel. And he's the nuts ass to Tennessee. But it's the third easiest schedule in the last 15 years. How about first player to score?
I love this kind of thing.
Isn't this all these guys are listed? Your buddy had Robinson at 110-1 when the Giants took the lead against Detroit right away. Stevenson's 25, Chase Brown's 25, Chase is 25, Charbonnet's 30, JSN is 30, Hunter Henry 30, Achane 35-1. This is great. You can bet first team to score first, player to score first, quarterback first, touchdown. You can also bet first field goal of the day.
You know who I'd look at? I'd look at a player in the Buccaneers.
Would you?
With how bad it's been, this Miami defense is awful. They come out, they put together... just their best game plan to date with the scripted plays.
All right.
And they go right down the field, and somehow Mayfield finds one of his, maybe Evans.
I'll give them to you. Bucky's 40. Evans is 45. Tucker's 50.
I wouldn't mind sprinkling on...
Godwin's 60.
Maybe a little Sean Tucker there and Mike Evans.
Yeah. Igbuka 65. All right, not bad. Love that. Fun way to start the day. Start the year, new year. Off is a better with a VSiN Pro subscription. Final week to save 50% off the regular monthly price with the holiday special. Sign up now. VSiN Pro access through May 1st. Just $79. Every best bet, every host, every guest. the AI-powered prop tools, the 24/7 video with the Watch app. You'll get lost in all the content. It's incredible. Everything that's up there on the website. Start the new year with an edge. VSiN.com/subscribe.
You won't believe what the Packers accomplished in their loss last night. For the third time this year, only time in the Super Bowl era